You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Oh, I love it.
Nobody knows where they might be.
They're perfect. I haven't heard the theme song in ages.
All right.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that.
Don't get lost in the theme song.
I know. I'm like, I start doing choreography. Hey, you guys. Welcome to the Grey's Anatomy After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Jason J. Carter in the hot seat. Hello, co-host.
Hello.
Hi, ladies.
I'm Jennifer Golden.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Julie Parton.
And we are here back, Grey's Anatomy season 9, and I'm still reeling over the theme song. They stopped using it so many seasons ago, and I haven't heard it in like 8 I forgot it was even on the show. I was like, did they have a theme song?
I didn't even realize they stopped using it.
Yeah, you never hear it. The opening of the show has evolved from that to Grey's Anatomy, and then created by Shonda Rhimes. She got to make sure she gets that plug.
Yeah. Well, now that you say it, I miss it.
Right. You know, it was great. Mm-hmm. But some of the viewers felt that it didn't fit with the show because the way the montage was them, you know, going to dinner and then sleeping in the encounter. It was kind of weird. Remember?
Right.
And the hills
it.
At the end?
Yes.
Yeah. Weird. But we're here tonight. Great show tonight. Season 9, episode 4. I saw her standing there. And Bing is for doing. And I'm so glad that we're here together. Again, I missed you guys. Sorry I wasn't here last week.
Me too.
We missed you.
We held on the fort, but it's definitely better as a foursome.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, foursome. Yes. The more, the merrier. So let's talk about tonight's show.
Well, I think this theme song would have been great for tonight's show because we open with a bunch of sex.
Right.
It's like sex everywhere.
Well, Shauna says this is the season of romance. Mm-hmm. So I guess that, you know, sex, for them, that's sex.
Right.
You know, and the first, you know, opening we see Yang, who, by the way, I have such a huge girl crush on. I think she's so hot and sexy for some odd reason. Just her whole being is just very sexy to me. But she's having sex with the chief of surgery at Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Go figure. She gets around. I mean, she was always getting it on with somebody. It's always someone that has power or is in a high position because she was sleeping with her professor at UCLA.
Right.
Oh, snap! Then Burke.
Uh-huh.
Then,
oh, snap!
Then you know. Then Owen.
Oh, snap!
Right.
Which, speaking of, I guess they've established or have they not established in their relationship that that's okay?
I don't think that they have, but I think she's the kind of person that figures, hey, I'm here, you're there, I gotta do what I gotta do.
Are they still in a relationship?
They're still married.
Yeah, but she's apparently not present. Different hoes and area codes, you know what I'm saying? Go with it, Christina. We ain't pound it and we ain't mad at you. We're not mad at you. But Mayo Clinic. First of all, it's always cold there because it's in Minnesota. And Yang is there, and we get to see Yang blossom this week. You know, the personality that we lost so many seasons ago, you know, the wittiness, the dry candor, all that is back. And we also see a softer side of Yang, a more welcoming, a more warm side. Would you guys agree?
Yes, especially when you see her interact with the doctor that she's been working with and who she hated in the beginning.
Right, so her and Dr. Thomas bonded big time last
week,
episode.
Yes.
Yeah. On multiple levels. She learned from him, she started to respect him as her elder and her boss and her mentor, and then they bonded over the plane crash.
Right.
Right. They opened up to each other, and that was kind of cool to see because she just despised him and was so annoyed by him. Mm-hmm. And to have him be her best friend there, and she even told Meredith that that's her person there.
Yeah.
Well, that was crazy. Yeah.
Well, Christina always does that, though. You know, she with Teddy, she kind of is always on the road. She's very pride-driven and ego-driven, and she has so many walls. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and she, but that's always the case with people like that. They're so guarded, but underneath all that armor is this mush, and that's for sure Yang. And every time I see Dr. Thomas, I think of Dr. Feeney. Professor Feeney from Boy Meets World.
We kept calling him Dr. Feeney while we were watching it.
But I'm really glad this week that we get to see Yang actually sticking up for someone. And you always know Yang is always the underdog because with Burke, she did all his surgeries after he got shot. You know, Yang is always trying to save somebody. Instead of trying to save herself, she's always trying to save somebody. And she always acquiesces when Owen choked her. Remember that film?
Right.
Oh, yeah. And she tells him, you know, you have some big, big problems. Homegirl, he choked you. I mean, you know, almost killed you.
It wasn't his fault.
Right. He had PTSD, you know, whatever. But still, in real time, if someone's choking me, I'd be like, no, it was your fault, right?
We're not sleeping in the same bed together anymore.
Right. It's like, it was your hands. It was absolutely your fault.
Right, for sure.
But what was so crazy about this episode is that we could see how deeply she had bonded with Dr. Thomas because she respected his opinion. Mm-hmm. She had a differing opinion on how they should do the surgery, something less invasive. He explained his reasons. She went with his reasons. So she stuck up for him behind his back and additionally was respectful to him, to his face.
Right.
And helped him.
Exactly. Yeah. And Yang, if you watch previous seasons, Yang has always been that doctor that has questioned the older doctor's techniques. Several seasons, she's questioned different doctors about how to do an appendectomy. You know, she would have did it laparoscopically instead of this way, that way. Mm-hmm. And she's always calling people out with no regret. Like, mm-hmm. You're whack. You're a dinosaur. Again, you're a dinosaur. You're a fossil. You're dirt. Keep it moving. But tonight, you saw Yang evolve, and I think that's probably because of the plane crash. You know, she's there in Minnesota alone, and even though she's sleeping with the head of surgery or whoever he is, I'm gathering he is the head of surgery because he had a really cool office, she probably feels that, you know, she wants to have friends, and she has no friends there. And so, what an unlikely pairing, this doctor and her, for sure.
Right.
And also, they're trying to oust Dr. Thomas. And
right, we find out that pretty quickly, that yeah. mm-hmm. that her new boy toy is in a position to oust Dr. Thomas, and it's a plan that he's put in effect, and he's using Yang against Dr. Thomas.
Openly. This tells her, you know, you're perfect, you know.
Well, she doesn't realize it right away. He says, enjoy him while you can. Mm-hmm. Right. She said, oh, I'm getting off probation. That was her first immediate thought.
Or, oh, he's going to die. Or, oh, yeah. You know,
I thought he was going to die.
Right. Typical Grace fashion, yeah. He would have, you know.
I thought he had, like, a terminal illness or something.
Pancreatic cancer. Yeah. They need to do a Whipple. They're always doing a Whipple. Haven't you guys noticed on Grey's it's either a bowel obstruction, a Whipple, cancer, or some enlarged something or another?
Yeah.
You know,
yes. It's just
no one ever gets, like, you know, shot in the eye or it comes out their ear and they have to, you know, it's always some kind of random, a bowel obstruction. You have a perfed abdomen, a perfed bowel. Everything's perfed.
I wonder in the real medical world what the percentages are of the different surgeries.
Well, my mom says that everything that happens on Grey's is BS and doesn't go. No one says stat. You know how they do stat? Like, I need stat, like stat. No one said, they haven't said that since 1977. You know? And furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, the scrubs that the ladies wear that are very hugging and form fitting and accentuate the girls and uh-huh. That's not how those work in real life either.
They're baggy and horrible and very shapeless.
Yeah, those are tailored scrubs. Those are like Dion von Furstenberg scrubs.
Yeah, they do look cute in their scrubs, every single one of them.
But if we're being real here, I've never been to a hospital and not seen at least one nurse have little doggies on her scrubs.
Right.
So they've managed to elude that little pattern.
Yeah.
For sure. That's true. For sure. Yang, I'm out of all the characters this season, I'm liking Yang's involvement. I think pulling her away from Seattle Grace and out of Meredith's hair and the codependency of that relationship is actually really cool. It's very nice to see her. Because I was thinking, like, how is this going to work? We're so used to those two being together and paired together. And, you know, every season, Christina, Yang, or, you know, they're always so close. And now they're so far away living their own lives and they're standing on their own 2 feet. Yang's storyline's actually turning out to be quite an enjoyable one.
It's interesting that the device worked. Because like, yeah. Like, how long is this going to go on where she's having her own storyline?
Right.
It doesn't seem that separate, what's happening at Mayo and what's happening at Seattle Grace. Right. Cool. It's almost like they're on different floors in the hospital.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's better, too, because she is actually learning from someone else. And I think that was her bonding moment with Dr. Thomas, too, is that he showed her something different that she didn't know how to do. And that's where a lot of the respect came from. Because, yeah, he's older. She thought everything he's doing was, you know, stupid. And it's just the long way to go. But she learned something. Right. And I think that's why she's taking his opinions and not trying to do the shortcut so much more now.
Well, that's always been the thing with Yang, though. She's always had arguments with the chief. I mean, last season, she said, if you cannot give me a cardio god, if you cannot enhance or enrich my education, I'll leave. I don't need to stay here. And I always respected that about her because she's like, I want to be amazing. Damn it, I'm going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. I will do whatever it takes. She has that hunger. Yeah, she's arrogant. Her arrogance is never favorable, but they say you have to be a rock star. Cardio and surgery is like war. You have to be that intense. And so that arrogance comes at a price. And I think the reason why Yang is so brilliant in her character on the show is because she gets it. She leaves emotion out of certain things and is able to just focus on the task at hand, and that's what makes her brilliant. But it's just such a tragedy that she's so tragic in her personal life. You know?
Yeah, bad choice.
She has sex friends.
But that guy?
I know. Well, like she was telling Meredith, it wasn't so much about finding a friend, it was finding an orgasm.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Like,
quote, end quote.
Yeah. But through the conversation with Meredith is when she realized Dr. Thomas doesn't see it coming.
Right.
He doesn't see the end to his surgical career coming. And so she immediately went to him. And right then we all sort of looked at each other and we're like, oh, man, she is done with that other chief of surgery. Right. She's not going to stand with him backstabbing. And so we're a little bit curious. What do you guys think after Buzzers? Is she going to get back with that doctor now that she knows that he is against her best friend at the new hospital?
Well, at the end of the episode, she kept it moving. She's deuces. I gotta have a drink with somebody. Goodbye. You know, and Yang is very dismissive. When she's done, she's done. Yeah. So, I mean, who? It's only time will tell. Will Yang and Dr. What's his face?
Dr. Parker.
Whoever will they stand the test of time? I hope not. But he's not hot in no way, shape, or form. Bring back Owen.
Yeah.
Crowen.
But I think you're right. It's the power that she craves. Right. That's what's sexy to
She's
her.
Always, right, exactly. She needs that someone to choke her, spank her, pull her hair.
Oh, you spouted that out way too quickly and way too disturbingly.
Moving on.
Wait. Before, one more thing happened in Mayo that was a sweet moment. She, in trying to save Dr. Thomas's job, convinced him to do a surgery that he claimed he knew how to do.
Yeah.
Whenever it came down to it, it was in the moment and he was hesitating. He was scared. And he came to a point where he looked at Christina and said, you need to take over. And she just calmly, slowly guided him through it. And it was a really sweet moment because he did it successfully.
Right.
And immediately had confidence in surgery.
Do you think that we're seeing a flipped mirror image now of when with Teddy and Bailey and all the ones that have come before them when they were interns and they were fifth year residents trying to all the lessons that they're trying to teach them, now that they're attendings, they're actually giving those lessons now. Because I remember when Teddy was trying to show Christina so many things and her arrogance got in the way and she did not know why Teddy was trying to make her do these things. She didn't get it. And at the end of the show, this is why. So it's just funny to see that Christina, who's the newer generation, as they said in this episode, you're the future of surgery, was teaching this fossil. And I don't mean to say fossil in the sense that he's really old.
She jokes and says he's old, right, too. I love their old jokes.
Yeah. You know, but that she's teaching this guy. I think this is really nice how Sean and her team is bringing full circle all these lessons that we've been watching over the years.
And isn't it ironic that she went to this hospital, they were like, put on a happy face, this is a happy place, everybody's so nice to each other. And then the guy who was saying that, Parker, is the one who's actually the
evil guy.
Right. Yeah. He's a schemer and trying to get the older guy out.
Right.
So she actually learned the lesson and grew a heart. But now her guy's
leaving. It seems like he just said that initially to mess with her.
Yeah.
Well, and because he wanted to put those two together, like he said, as part of his plan, so she would be on his team, and he didn't think she comes across so cold-hearted, he didn't think she'd care.
Right. There'd be an alliance, there'd be allies. Mm-hmm. And it's also nice to see Christina just happy and just more human, more accessible, fluid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's so rigid. She's like, I don't know, like a really bad blunt haircut, just sharp everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And then now she's just she's easy. She's not so heavy. When she smiles, it's so shocking because you rarely see Christina Yang smile. You know, and she's a very pretty girl. Her femininity is so powerful when she allows it to exude. And when she's not trying hard to be, you know, so forceful, when she just, she's very sexy.
Yeah, you really are obsessed with Christina tonight.
Great.
I definitely
This was during the whole episode, too.
Yeah.
Oh, such a crush.
Yeah, I do, for real. Her and Katy Perry could get it. So, there we go. Mayo Clinic this week.
Yeah, we loved it, but back to Seattle.
Great. another love triangle brewing. That's kind of where the chief. Okay, first of all, the chief, Chief Weber, his whole role in Grey's, I'm still kind of weirded out about because his storyline with Meredith and Ellis, that was powerful in the first four seasons of Grey's, and them being alcoholics for having Alzheimer's, just the whole Thatcher marriage, just the whole demise of that whole thing was just brilliant television. Now Adele has Alzheimer's. She's doing whatever, and he's still married to her, but now Debbie Allen, Catherine Avery, is now in the picture, and that's Avery's mom, and of course they come from a long line of successful surgeons, Harper Avery, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just so weird seeing him here because he was once the almighty powerful chief. I'm Zeus, you know, and now he's just the chief. Like, no one really cares. He's kind of, he's lost his gusto, if you want to call it.
He's sort of reversed roles with the interns who used to hide their love from him. And now he's hiding his love from everybody in the office. But on Grey's, we are alluded to believe that those two have kept up what they've been doing since the boards.
Yeah.
Yes.
They've been that.
That was not a fling, yeah.
Which is cute. It's cute to see him now, like, letting loose and having some fun instead of being the chief.
Right.
And I think it's cute. I mean, I like Debbie Allen's character. I think she's great. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that she's a urologist. I always wondered why, you know, it's like, why men become gynecologists? Well, why do women become urologists? And, I mean, my doctor is a female, and, you know, I have to go get physicals and stuff like that. And I just think about that while she's a gem. She's super cool. I love her. She's like, you young men are so healthy. I bet we are. But no, but it's just, anyway, so this week she was cutting off a man's scrotum. He had enlarged testicles. And, you know, of course, there's this dynamic with.
They were a little bit more than enlarged.
Well, it was like elephant tennis.
Yes. It was ridiculous.
I wonder how common that is, though.
I know.
It can't be that common.
No, but I think overseas it is. Like, third world, Africa, they do.
You get bit by, like, whatever the something, mosquito is that transmits.
Oh, really? Never
a big
heard that
ball
before.
Mosquito.
Yeah.
Do you grow up here? I have a big ball mosquito for you.
Well, so we see this guy, one of the patients.
Yeah.
And he has this younger girl with him who, I guess, did they establish a relationship in the beginning?
No, but then it came out later that they were friends.
I sort of assumed they were together. And then there was a moment in there when they alluded to us that they weren't together.
Right.
So then we all knew he loved her.
Of course.
Right.
Typical. Yeah.
Always on Grey's Anatomy. Somebody has a secret love and they're like,
that only
on the bed.
Comes out after they've survived their surgery.
Right. Of course. Exactly. I wonder if there's like in the writing room, if there's like a group of people who just focus on, okay, you're going to find a way to have that secret love. You know, like there's just people who bring in these different elements. Like they have a board that says, okay, this season we need to have these elements in the show. Friend who doesn't know the friend that likes each other. Okay. You know, big balls. You know,
those But they always come out to the doctor.
Like, right.
I don't know about you, but I don't really talk that personally with my doctors ever.
Totally. I had a finger infection last week that was quite gnarly, and my doctor was not trying to talk to me. He was like, dude, here's a needle. And I was like scared, had the nurse holding my hand.
Especially
you know?
Being at an emergency room. You would think, like, we don't have time to sit and
chat.
You know, with their large testicles.
And we have other patients.
Yeah.
Right.
The dentist is a different story. Those dental hygienists, once you've got the laughing gas, the secrets just roll out.
It's like truth juice, right? Yeah. But back to the love affair, though. So, you know, of course, just touching on it, Avery and the chief are back at it, doing it again. And I think that it's good for him. Because after last season with Adele and everything he went through.
That was so tragic.
Yeah, I mean, he basically saw his wife leave him right in front of his eyes, but not leave him. You know, having Alzheimer's is not a great thing, of course. You know, it's not. But with the arrival of Catherine Avery, I think it's good. And I think it's going to be a really cool storyline, even if it's just light and fun, you know. And also, Bailey and the Chief's relationship, I would have loved to see those two get together.
Oh, that would have been so weird.
That would have been less weird, though, than the guy she is with.
Right?
Yeah.
I liked them together. You know who I didn't like her with was the nurse.
Yeah. Eli.
I like her with the doctor, her fiance now, more than I liked her with that nurse.
Well, here's the thing, though. You can't pair. Bailey's not, you know, she's not Janet Jackson. You know, she's Bailey. She's more mother. She's more maternal, more matronly. So if you give her like this hot dude, this young,
I know that right? just was. And but I think that was the point, is because all of her insecurities came out. She didn't feel like she was good enough for him because he was so hot.
Right.
You know, and I think that was the kind of the dynamic of that, showing that.
Okay. It was interesting
to
see
that. And he was trying to, you know, keep, reassuring her, and he was honestly into her. She had the problem because he was so hot.
Yeah.
It was her internal
gotcha.
You know,
I mean,
issues.
She showed up in a thong for one episode. You know, I'm in a thong and I shave. Whoa. Bailey. You are a mother.
That is one of the things we love about Shondaland, though, is she pairs people together you'd never expect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And be it interracial relationships. And that's the dynamic. That's why Grey's is so amazing. So
I don't know if I like Bailey's character right now. What is she doing?
That was so weird in that surgery. That is un-Bailey.
She was like trying to steal surgery. She doesn't have anything to do.
Well, she said last episode, was it maybe, that she said that she has nothing to do and
she feels lost.
She doesn't have anyone to take care of. And
but her attitude, it's so.
Not commanding, not Bailey.
She's not the one that makes the jokes in the surgery. She's the one that shut that down.
Right.
But like, dirty jokes, not even, you know, like
she said she farted or something.
Yeah. No, right, she talked about a bowel. I see my way through a bowel and I never had a fart.
No, she said she still laughs at farts.
Yeah.
Ew. Could you imagine just,
she's
I can't.
She's like cutting into someone and then they're talking.
No, done. I'm moving us on past this conversation. So, speaking of Avery's getting love, we also have the younger Avery, who's also in a secret relationship with April.
Okay, let's gab about this. Sarah Drew, I love you. I love your character. I think you're great. But the Jesus issue storyline has got to stop. It seems so contrived. Like, okay, we had sex. I'm gonna go pray.
I mean, it is a little comical, but kind of ridiculous.
That's, we talked about that last week a lot.
It would have been amazing. No, it would be really, really cool is if they have sex. And all of a sudden, we flash to this church. And she's like, you know, the Catholic church praying and crying. You know, that would be more believable than them being like, doing charts, I'm gonna go pray, but do you wanna have sex first? You know, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
And then they're not a believable couple. And I think Avery, the reason why Avery Jackson, it gets enough play is because he's so good looking. I even think when Mark was alive, that whole dynamic between those two was good because
I love,
you know,
their bromance.
With Lexi and the whole that trifecta. But with Kepner, it's just, first of all, Kepner, the name Kepner alone warrants is laughable. Right. And it's just, I don't know, something about her just, she doesn't fit now. Kepner's not doing it for me. She doesn't fit.
She has no friends. Just Avery.
There's no intensity to her.
She's never really had that many
left,
friends,
though. Yeah. Like, there's nobody left. Everybody's either dead or gone.
Or all her friends got shot for mercy.
Seriously.
True.
So there's nobody left. And these new interns just aren't cutting it for me. Every time I see one of them, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
They're so bland.
There's nothing outstanding about the
characters. I thought that the one intern who kept sucking up to Derek was hysterical.
Yeah.
He kept asking questions in the form of suck-ups.
Oh, yeah.
So when you performed that groundbreaking surgery, sir.
Yeah, and Derek's like,
that's Forrest Whitaker's son, right?
Oh.
Is it?
Oh, maybe not. I mean, I think so.
I thought that was Eddie Murphy's son.
Let's establish which one this is. We're supposed to be insiders here, guys. Let's not throw that
out
until we know.
I had no idea who son was. I was like, whose son is that? I don't pay attention to especially the male interns, because they're just revolving doors. They come and go, and they're just, the first five seasons of Grey's, I hate to harp on the past, but the reason why I do harp on the past is because Grey's was so powerful. Every scene, even if it was just them walking, there was some kind of emotion behind it. I feel like tonight's show, even though they said it was going to be light and airy, and it was directed by Kevin McKidd, mm-hmm. who plays Owen, I just feel like it's just still missing that it factor, that magic that Grey's used to have. Tonight, and we'll touch on Arizona in just a few minutes, but Christina was probably the most original, harkening back to the old school Grey's, you know, mm-hmm. just with her character. Her character evolves, but they give us true Christina all the time.
Okay. Well, I like to see Meredith's evolution right now, because she was always so depressed and unhappy all the time.
Right.
Always
dark and twisty.
Always wanting to kill herself every five mm-hmm. minutes. Like, that was always her dark demeanor. I mean, but she's always been such a great doctor. She's always been super smart and, you know, just as smart as Christina almost, mm-hmm. but she just handles it in a different way. She's never been that pushy.
Right.
So to see her dealing with this tumor the way that she did today, I thought was great for her character.
It was great for her to take the lead for once,
right.
for her to be the expert.
But it was also, this much, though.
By the way, when did she stop being called Medusa? Because I think that was like a 5 second
I know, and if she was definitely Medusa, she would have went off on that intern for scaring the patient.
I
was upset that wasn't addressed.
The girl was like, I'm sorry. And Meredith, I'm focused. I don't even care.
Yeah, she's like,
but she should have went off on her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Medusa or not.
Now,
you know,
they're calling her a badass. What happened to Medusa?
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe that might come back. Again, inconsistencies that you can't bring in a new Cherry Coke and get rid of the old Cherry Coke. You got to keep it consistent. You know, you got to give people what they want. And again, calling her Medusa was like, okay, cool. Maybe that might have been amazing for the premiere, but you're trying to coin phrases and coin personalities that is just not sticking. It's like, come on, right. get together. And also, Meredith kicking ass in that surgery was this much of the show. It was just like, bum, okay, you're done. Great.
I know.
You know, normally tumors of that nature that are wrapped around an operable tumor, you know, another typical Grey's, you know, mm-hmm. thing, last for at least more than 2 minutes.
Well, I think it had more to do with the Derek situation, though, and that's mm-hmm. why they kept showing him in his boring class and her dealing with this awesome surgery and their dynamic, which, you know, she obviously hid it from him because she felt bad and thought he's going to move to the forest again and grow a beard. And instead, he was very supportive and he's like, no, tell me about this stuff.
Right. Well, because of Owen having that talk with him. But I think the whole episode in general was more about the relationships versus about the patients. It's right. kind of what it's been lately.
It's about the romance. That's what they said yeah. it was going to be about the romance tonight.
I wonder if when Owen had the talk with that intern that was crying, I can't remember her name.
Tina?
I wrote it down last week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, like
the intern.
She was asking why is Meredith so mean, and he had that talk with her and was like, she's not mean. She's trying to teach you something. Now, did that resonate with everyone? And that's why they're not calling
Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe Wilson.
Yes.
Maybe.
Did that one conversation just kind of end? That
we'll never know. It's out there in the Shonda universe, Grey's universe, you know, out there. But I would like to see. I loved dark and twisty Meredith.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like whiny Meredith. Tonight I felt she was a little bit more grounded and secure.
I don't think Meredith's ever whiny, though.
Yes.
Really?
No,
you don't remember when she literally let herself drown? No,
well, hello, her mom was abusive, Julie.
Well, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's nice to see, even through all the tragedy, she's still holding it together. Yeah. And she's
drunk, whiny Meredith for a long time.
Yes.
Mm. And she has definitely risen above. But I wanted to see her moment of brilliance. I wanted to see her as the new surgeon that could look at a tumor that couldn't be removed and figure it out. Instead, we just got the verbal replay to her husband later.
I know. I'm sad that she didn't get her time to shine.
And yeah, especially in a surgery that big. And,
and especially because this is Grey's Anatomy.
Of course, yeah. Right. And then the house. Can we also touch on the house was finished. The house is built now. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh. It's this palatial on the hill with Zola in tow. Uh-huh. And I kind of don't like seeing them being a little... normal. I like the house on Queen Hill and
with the revolving door of one night stands.
I mean, one night stands, roommates. You know, members. You know, she takes in strangers, stragglers all the time. I miss that house because so many. Izzy on the floor in the bathroom. You know,
they're growing up.
I know, and I'm afraid to let my babies go.
They're not babies anymore. Now they're having babies.
Now they're attendings in the blue scrubs.
And they use the phone instead of going next door to the next person's bedroom. Like Christina and Meredith talk on the phone all the time. We see it in every episode, or they Skype on their iPads or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's nice, though, to see her finally with Derek in a normal setting, because I think we wanted that for so long that really if you did it in season 9 and they still weren't together or living a normal life.
It would be frustrating.
It would be frustrating. Plus, they have a kid. They can't have a kid with like a million people in their house.
Zola was super cute in this episode. She even talked a little bit.
She was cute.
I know, for Zola's the 3 seconds we saw her. She's so cute.
At least we saw her.
I know, that's true.
Remember how last episode they all kept talking about the kids? We never actually saw any children.
Just the toys.
Yeah, just hints that they were around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
So let's get something straight. Am I the only person that likes April and Avery together?
No, I like them together. I think they're great together. I just feel that I just wish that April would grow a pair, and I wish that the writers would get rid of they should never started with the whole religion storyline. They should have started with maybe she was raped growing up or something more intense.
Well, no, because she was a virgin, and you know,
not even that. Like, that is a personal journey that you can take and get to that age without having anything traumatic happen in your childhood or without being religious.
But exactly. But in the realm of Grey's, the whole Jesus thing was just like, oh God, really?
Yeah, I was like, upset about that.
I would have said, like, I don't know, maybe she, I don't know, something else.
But that was her whole thing when she came in. And then when everybody found out she was a virgin, we talked about this last week, they were all kind of mean to her about it, made fun of her about it, and made it seem like it was a bad thing. And I think that's why she had that struggle. And
I think it's
that's
her identity
why she's
also.
Still struggling with it, struggling with being the bad girl, because that's how she wants to fit in, and that's why she almost had sex with Karev a long time ago.
I agree.
And she's, like, dealing with all that. But I think you're right. The way that they're handling that relationship is, I don't really like it either.
It's they're beating us over the head with the religious stuff, but at the same time, I think that once they sort of talk about their feelings, because there are feelings there, that then she'll kind of lose it, because I think her guilt comes from the fact that she thinks he doesn't really like her.
Right. And you can't have somebody be that religious that's just having a sex part, like a sex buddy, just having booty calls. Like, right. You can't. I don't know. What do you guys think? You know, people go to iTunes. We like reading your comments on YouTube and iTunes. So thank you so much for that. But let us know what you think about this. You know, you can subscribe for free. Please download, rate, and comment. We need 5 stars.
Five stars.
Also, Kelly, talking about iTunes and comments, I just want to send a shout out to a couple of our AfterBuzzers who are listening, and I promise I will no longer screw up McSteamy and McDreamy. Reason being, McDreamy's dead. McSteamy's dead.
That was the last mix-up.
I did it on purpose. No, I got flamed on iTunes. Like, I wish
you just killed him.
I know. That JC can never get it right. So McSteamy is dead. Rest in peace, Eric Day and Mark Sloan. So I will not screw that up for the rest of the season. You have my word after buzz. There you go.
I will promise I will do my best to learn the interns' names, even though they kind of bug me right now.
And they're not cute.
I will.
We are a big fan, though, of Tina Majorino's character.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was an all-star intern tonight.
Yeah, she was.
She was the one that was gossiping outside the patient's room.
But, hey, it got her more TV time.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and we love her as an actress. Yeah.
Right. But she still got to scrub in on the surgery, which was good, and, you know, all of that.
You can't be, again, all the other interns had their way of getting in and making sure they got on the surgery, so it's cool. So let's touch on Karev tonight. Karev, he's another one of those characters on the show that I feel, I don't know, trying to find his place again. Karev is never ever real. Well, no, I take that back. The Ava storyline, Rebecca Ava. Rebecca.
That was weird.
That was a very powerful Karev storyline because he was at the forefront with that one. That was great. But I feel in the last couple of seasons, Karev really hasn't been a standout star. And tonight, the same thing. You see glimpses of him. Just like when T.R. Knight, George was leaving the show, they showed less and less of him. And I'm not sure if you know, Justin Chambers, who plays Alex Karev, is leaving the show. I don't know. Don't quote me saying that. I have no clue about that one. But I just feel like his character this season is just, eh.
It'll probably come back when Arizona comes back.
Right. But I like with his character tonight that I got to see what I wanted to see of him, a little bit more human Karev and not such a jerk all the time. I liked that. Even though it was very subtle, it was still nice. It was nice to see him be a little softer. And he genuinely is concerned for Arizona and he wants her back. He loved working with her, even though it was hard for him in the beginning. He didn't want to have anything to do with peds and all of that. But she kind of brought him around and made him a better doctor.
And I feel like Callie will be one of the breakout actresses of this season because of everything she's dealing with. And what I love about Callie's character is that she handles everything with she's never over the top about anything. You know, she's just she takes a lot and she's such a strong woman. Like her presence on the show is just, I have a girl crush on her too. I just love brunettes first and foremost. But,
thank you.
Yeah, brunettes are awesome.
Thank you.
Brunettes rock. I feel for Callie because she's trying to, I know what it's like to try to pull something out of someone you love and just to get the cold shoulder over and over again. And I mean, I've never experienced anything as someone as my significant other losing a limb or dying or anything of that nature, but Callie's character this season, she's taking on a lot. She's bearing a lot of guilt. She's holding in a lot of emotion because she's trying to keep it together while being a surgeon. And again, do these people ever sleep?
No. Well, actually, she said that she's been sleeping at Mark's, which gives her nightmares because she's sleeping at her dead best friend's house because she can't be anywhere near Arizona, who screams at her. Mm-hmm. But they do sleep, apparently.
A little bit.
But they get calls to wake them up, like we saw Meredith and Dreamy were in bed together, which was nice to see them have a little...
And a horizontal position. I've never seen those two horizontally on top of each other. And I was thinking about that. I was like, they've always doing like the spoon or... I mean, but tonight they were like... Just really like doing it. I was like, get it, you guys. Zola, earmuffs.
So back to Callie in Arizona. The progress on that situation tonight, we got a new doctor, Ethan Embry, with Dr. Moore. We're a big fan of him as an actor.
Yeah. Oh, I love
him. And he came in as a prosthetics doctor.
Right.
So do you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Prosthetics doctor. Yeah. And so Arizona was in there getting fitted for her leg. And just like has been typical of her this season, gripe, off-putting, really mean to him, hard to work with. And he, as opposed to everyone else in the hospital, left her. Didn't right. put up with the crap. Literally walked out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's tough love, though, and he probably sees worse.
Yeah.
So he knows how to handle this kind of situation and what it's going to take, because he already tried the nice way and said, you have people in your life that love you. You really should probably let them in and help you. Or I'm going to walk out. Thanks.
Right, yeah. He wasn't even saying, let me in. He was saying, let those people in because they want to be here for you.
And you're going to need them.
Yeah, right. That's what he told her, because she thought he meant himself. And he's like, hey, I don't even know you.
Right.
It's, you know, we just met these other people in your life.
And- sure. Well, I mean, after Callie picked her up out of her own pee last week, I mean, you think she'd be a little bit more, you know, nice to Callie. But you know.
I think she's... It's one of those things where I think in most, a lot of traumatic situations, you always hurt the ones closest to you because they need to be your punching bag
right.
for whatever reason.
Right. She has to take this out on someone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she shouldn't, but she is. They should right. really be giving her psych counsel instead of, along with this leg.
Mm-hmm. I know. I wonder if she'd even, if they've tried to do that, and she just won't do it right now.
Well, she doesn't know that Karev was the one who actually cut off the leg.
Right.
And that Callie made the call, but Karev cut off the leg. And I also, after buzzers and our viewers at home, I have to apologize. My source had said that Jessica Capshaw, a.k.a. Arizona, is leaving the show. She's not leaving the show. So,
yay!
So,
yay!
I like her.
Good news.
Yeah. I don't like her mean, but I like her.
Yeah,
right. Well, we saw some breakthrough tonight.
For yeah. sure.
Because she was sitting there alone with that leg. For a long time. Mm-hmm. They made it seem like hours had lapsed by before she decided to stand up.
Right.
And then, you know, the door cracks open, Karev walks in, she falls, Karev catches her. Very symbolically.
Mm-hmm.
And what was awesome about that moment is that he didn't linger, he didn't try to take it too far, he helped her back up and he left.
Mm-hmm. Right. He examined the leg instead of telling nicely.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He was a doctor.
He gave compliments, right. but she probably needed to hear something nice about the situation.
About the way it's healing and all that. And he said, you know, we need you. Because she asked him, you know, you're not ruining my department or anything.
He's like,
you?
It's falling apart.
And
we need you back.
And then she says, you know, I'm trying. And he said, well, you know, Callie's trying too. And then but that was as far as he took it, and he's out the door.
I thought it was very doctor of him to examine the leg with his hands. He didn't avoid it in any way. He would check up on her like the doctor would.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you do with people you care about. You know, if you guys are my best friends and you're sick or something's wrong, something happens, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, let me see, you know? Okay, cool.
Of course.
Right, you know, because you care about these people. You want them to heal. You want them to move on.
And plus, he was worried about it. He was asking Callie, I'm the one that cut it. What if it doesn't fit? What if I did something wrong and we have to do something?
Everyone has a layer of guilt in terms of the situation.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's his guilt also for not being on the plane. I feel that's his healing. Everyone's healing differently, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that tonight they took a break from the plane crash and everything to really focus on to drive it home. Because after last week's episode with the whole
settlement.
Settlement.
Yeah, we thought that was going to go on. And it will in a future episode. Right. But at least they gave us a break this week.
Yeah, right. I would have took the money. I'm sorry. I was like, take the money.
Thank you.
No!
I said that last week, and I was treated by her. And then one of our viewers, my mother-in-law, was like, I just can't believe you do that.
The thing is...
You're letting down society.
No, it's like, they made it seem like it was a PSA, like, you know, okay, if we don't take... it wasn't like someone died of alcoholism or drug abuse or something like that, or, you know, or battered woman, and, you know, they want to have a message to get out. It was the plane crash. So, okay, the plane crash, which is tragic, but we don't want this to happen to somebody else. So what are you going to do? Please stop playing, have like a PSA.
No, but if there was something...
Please research plane crashes.
But if this company obviously knows they were responsible. That's why they're throwing so much money at. And that's what I couldn't stomach.
We didn't see an amount, though, did we?
What did you think, Jen? Would you have taken it or not?
We didn't see the amount, did we?
No.
Let's pretend it's as much money as you could ever want.
What are they holding at? Right. That was so annoying. That was so annoying, that passing that note.
Stupid.
But I want to know, what are they holding out for? More money?
Exactly.
No. What is that extra money?
No.
Kelly, what was it, Kelly?
At least in my opinion, it wasn't about the money.
Opinion.
It was about everything that they've gone through together, everything that they've seen, everything that's happened at that crazy black hole of a hospital. You know, Derek stopping and thinking about that and saying, I looked at this thing. I saw that. It's obviously, they know that there is a good possibility that it was their fault, not just a random accident. I can't live with myself knowing I'm just going to take this large sum of money and they're not going to fix their problem. They're not even going to really care and look into it.
So guys, we have an incoming fan call. Mm-hmm. Did you want to take it or not?
Sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sure. Accountability, you're saying. It was more accountability.
More accountability, I think, than the money.
Hi. Uh-huh. Welcome to AfterBuzz, Grey's Anatomy After Show. Are you there?
Hello? This is Outlaw Josie.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Outlaw Josie.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. I watched it with the East Coast first.
Oh, yay.
I'm watching it.
Oh, really? Lord. So what did you think about everything?
It was giving me heart palpitations. hot flashes. I'm just, oh, Lord of mercy. I just don't know.
Shonda
needs to have a Pulitzer Prize. They all need to have Oscars.
I agree. Or Emmys. Yes. It's great writing.
Or Golden Globes.
Yeah. The show is great writing.
Skip the Emmys. Skip the Globes. Oscars.
Oscars, honey.
So what do you think? Do you think they should have taken the money after the plane crash?
If
we would have known an amount, I mean, they were pushing around a paper like it was a lot. Okay, there was 9 people in the settlement. It had to have been at least 100 million. Because if it was like 100,000 apiece, I was like, really? That's like chump change.
No, they were talking about
it.
It was enough to pay for
college.
Yeah. So
but what is that? 350,000? I mean, you lost a leg. You lost people. Millions should have been in that settlement.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you notice in the beginning when Melly said, when are you leaving for the summit? She asked that so she would know when to put this meeting together.
are you talking about Grey's or are you talking about another Shonda Rhimes show?
No, just Scandal.
Oh, Scandal. Well, you called into the Grey's Anatomy after show, which is another awesome Shonda Rhimes show.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
You know what? You should call back in a little bit because the Scandal show airs right after us.
In about 15 minutes.
Okay.
But okay, I'll tell you what, they should get Oscars too.
Yeah.
great show too. Which reminds us, guys, you know, if you like any other AfterBuzz shows, you can always check out. We do Scandal. We do a lot of other shows.
Revenge. There's so many amazing shows.
Once Upon a Time.
Nashville.
Happy Endings.
The fall is the perfect place for television. If you're a TV fan, AfterBuzz TV has all your favorite shows, all your favorite after shows. I mean, I don't have to leave my couch. If you miss a show, log on, iTunes, online at YouTube or AfterBuzzTV.com.
All free.
Yep, free. We love free, but I hope that settlement that they were offered, because if you saw their faces, they were just like, well, of course, Derek was just like, and then Meredith, you know, and then, but it's just, yeah, it was, in conclusion, I would have took the money and it's been, and cussed them out, be like, you know. I lost Lexi. I lost Mark. I lost my leg, but I have $100 million. I could buy a brand new leg. Bam, boom.
I'm with you.
Going back to Arizona and her leg and Callie. So we see at the end of the episode that Arizona is coming around, and
right?
She invites Callie to sit next to her and watch.
She says, American Bake Off is next.
Oh, yeah.
And what I loved about that is anytime you're in a relationship and it is just heated and you have been fighting for days, there's always some moment where one of the person looks at the other one and breaks in a subtle way. Mm-hmm. Like, come watch the show with me. Come sit with me. Let's have dinner together in some specific way, or tells a joke or an inside joke. And I felt like that was their beginning to their path to love and healing together.
Love and healing.
Yeah.
You know,
with me and my baby fight. Mm-hmm. You know, I always give a little smoochy on the cheeks, you know, smoochy on the ears, and we're good, you know? So I agree. I love seeing Arizona.
I want her to get the help that she needs. I want her to accept the support that they're trying to give her, because it's a horror. I mean, I can't even imagine what going through something like that is like. So I want her to, you know, and little by little, I'm glad that we're seeing that she is being a little bit more open to
it. I loved the progress tonight. I love the subtle progress in both her physical healing and getting her prosthetic and her healing her relationship with Callie. Right.
And where was the child?
Oh, yeah, again.
Probably
Sophia missing.
You know, have you seen this child?
She said, I just put Sophia down. She's asleep.
Yeah,
I'm going
Jen.
To
Mars. So innuendo of a child, but still no child.
But, you know, and touching on the us supporting Calzona, some of the viewers thought that we were a little insensitive to Arizona, what happened to her. And it wasn't that we were insensitive to Arizona, what happened to her. I mean, like you just said, Kelly, she lost a limb. I mean, you know, it was just we were not feeling her treatment of Callie. For someone who's trying to support her and be in her corner.
Also, it was in comparison to the death that also happened in the same episode. So when you compare it to that, then it seems a little bit, you know,
would you
less
be
drastic
dead?
Because you're still alive.
Yeah,
right. Although some of our viewers from last week said, I don't know why you guys are surprised. Arizona's always been really emotional.
Well, she never was very lovey-dovey friendly, you know, because
She's a little cold.
She's always been a little bit cold.
Aloof. You know what I mean?
Even when, you know, they first had the baby and she was having to deal with the fact that Callie was pregnant and, you know, all of that. That's when we got to see kind of the struggle with her. But I think being with Callie, she's kind of come around a little bit. But she's kind of gone 10 steps backwards with this tragedy, which is obviously understandable. Right. But when we look at it as the fact that she didn't want her to die, she had to make a drastic judgment call. You know?
And that's love.
It is.
That's love. I mean, could you imagine being I could watching Mark laying on that bed, and then also having watching them take Callie's leg. I thought if I do that to my love, you know, how I feel about that.
Right.
I couldn't make that decision. I would be torn. Like, that's like life or death. You know.
Well, she was thinking about Sophia too. I mean,
right.
You can't losing a limb is. It's horrible. Like, I don't know if I could function that way. And maybe to her at that moment, it was better to not be around than to have to go through what she's going through.
Sure.
But she also has other people that are depending on her. She can't be that selfish.
Right.
And that's what I think she's has to see on her own, is that it was for they just didn't want to lose her.
Boom.
You know, she needed to be a mother.
The truth spoken by Kelly Liskin.
So we ended the episode with some really feel-good scenes with the progress, and then also with a great moment with Christina and Dr. Thomas having a good time in the bar.
Having
some old-fashioned together.
Like,
Christina busted up laughing.
Uh-huh. It's 10 p.m. Have a drink. Tequila, please.
That was cute.
Yeah, that storyline's really, really cool. Now, let's not even call them storyline. That experience in the show is great. That's what's needed. And again, I loved... There wasn't a monologue at the end of the show this week.
No,
normally
it was just previews.
I wish there was. That ties it all in together.
It was a romance episode.
Yeah.
And the music is still kind of missing from the show a little bit.
Well, I think they have so much going on right now. Maybe there's not time.
Last week they had some good songs.
Yeah.
I looked them up.
They did have some good songs last week. But I think we should...
news and gossip.
Well, Shonda Rhimes' other show, the Grey's Anatomy spinoff Private Practice, has just announced that they are in its last season, which makes us curious if we may get some Flow cast members, which might be cool.
I would love to see Addison back on Grey's for a final season.
I have a feeling she'll be back.
Yeah.
At some point.
She would have to make an appearance.
And also, Grey's was picked up for 24 episodes this season. Normally, for the last two seasons, it's been 22, but they added an additional two episodes for 24. So that's confirmed by the Hollywood Reporter, and they're always legit. So hopefully we'll get an amazing two-hour season finale, or but hopefully not any crossover events, but since Private Practice is going away, no crossover events.
And in an interview yesterday, when Patrick Dempsey was asked about the end of the series, which hasn't been announced yet, he said, gosh, I hope it's not something dramatic like another plane crash or somebody getting run over by a bus. I think life will just sort of go on, and I think it would go out very simply and leave an open for a movie.
Let's talk about that. Do you think that Grey's could be a successful movie?
I don't know. Some of their shows are already 2 hours long. That's a movie right there.
I mean, what would it be?
A plane crash.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be something. I mean, I don't know.
Really epic.
I can't picture it right now, but not to say that it couldn't happen.
Right.
But
I love it on TV. Keep it on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again. Well, let's move on to predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
So, ladies, my beautiful ladies, you guys are all beauty queens. Let's do predictions for the show. Like, Kepner and Avery. I predict that they will actually end up a couple together, and Avery will get past her Jesus issues.
I think she has the Jesus issues, not him.
No, but the Jesus issues are kind of standing in the way of them being an actual happy couple.
And they're not telling each other how they feel.
I think she would be ready to get married, but he said, I'm not ready to be married, and then he placed that upon her, you're not ready to be married, but I don't agree. I think she would be there.
I do, too. I think they're both a little bit scared, and it's new, and it will evolve.
Yeah, I think they just need to stop talking about it so much and just kind of let it happen.
So what do we predict as far as Dr. Yang is concerned? Is she coming back anytime soon?
I think that something's going to poison the well over there, especially with the sleeping with one guy and then the old guy like getting booted. That she'll just leave because of ethics or something like that.
So yeah, or there'll be a tragedy. Another shooting at Seattle Grace Mercy West, and she'll have to come back and save Meredith.
Maybe she will come back and bring Dr. Thomas with her.
Next
week on AfterBuzz, we see a girl crushed under a car, as usual, and Derek tries to operate.
Two weeks.
No show next week. 2 weeks from now, be sure to catch us here.
Alright, you guys. Well, there you have it. Grey's Anatomy After Show for this week. Until next time, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever, or you can find me on Facebook at the Jason J. Carter fan page. Smooches!
You can find me at Jen the Jew on Twitter and Jennifer Golden on Facebook and JenniferGolden.com.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE 079 on Twitter.
And I'm Julie Parton, and please do find me on Twitter. I'm Julie Parton, JULIEPARTIN.
Bye, guys. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for watching.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.